Hey guys, welcome to the show. My name is Kabir Uppal and I'll be your host throughout this journey. I'm a fitness enthusiast myself. By chatting with guests, I hope to learn a lot and hopefully you will too. I'm also the co-founder of FitNut, a platform focused on fitness and healthy living, where you can find out more about this show as well. You can check out our Facebook group, The Pursuit of Wellness, where we interact with guests and listeners and discuss their journeys. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at TPower Podcast. This is a Mancha Media production. You can find out more on manchamedia.com. In this episode, we chat with Namrata Joshipura. Namrata is a fashion designer based in Delhi. She is also an avid runner and runs marathons despite her busy schedule. Namrata and I chat about how she got into running and the training that comes with it, how she balances it with family and work, and how the fitness and fashion worlds connect. Let's jump into the episode. Hi Namrata, thanks for coming on the show. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Awesome. So we've already given our listeners a little bit of an introduction about you, but why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
My name is Namrata Joshipura. I am a fashion designer and I am a mother. I'm an avid runner and I'm an avid trekker, and that kind of sums it all up.
Well, that's a lot. And so tell us about where it all began, you know, for you as a designer, as a runner. How did you get into, you know, this lifestyle of, you know, balancing all these great things together?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm still balancing. I'm still work in progress. But I grew up in an army household and my dad traveled around. And one of his postings was in Delhi. And at the time, I was 13 or 14. And I started to play hockey. And I just would play hockey because I didn't want to attend the assembly. So it was pre-assembly that you would play hockey, and anybody who was playing sport didn't have to attend assembly. So started that way, and then I really got interested. I took it up more seriously and I started to play more actively. I got into the school team and then I went on to play my first sub-juniors for Delhi State. And that became sort of an addiction and a lifestyle. And I continued playing hockey for Delhi State till I joined first year of college, which was DU. And I realized that my calling was different. I was not made out for college. And I told my parents that I wanted to do something different. And they thought I was a little cuckoo. And I tried to figure out what I wanted to do. And then I went ahead and realized that my calling was to do design or fashion. And I joined NIFT and I studied fashion. And that's how my life turned from playing hockey to making clothes.
Great. So it all began from sports, for either skipping the assembly or getting into fitness. That's a great beginning. Actually, that's how it all started for me as well. Basketball and missing assembly and then eventually, you know, keeping up the fitness levels through that. I read somewhere that, you know, you were one of the first graduates, you know, from NIFT, and you know, you kind of started that entire pushing people to get into design, pushing women to get into fashion and design. You know, how is that in terms of running? How does that also push for you, pushing people to get into fitness? Is that something that's you know, kind of turned into that as well?
Once you are into fitness and when you believe in fitness, you try to encourage everyone around you to sort of follow that lifestyle. And sometimes it's taken well and sometimes it's not taken well. But yeah, like for example, a couple of years back, I had a young team of assistants in the office and I enforced, I made sure that everybody registers for a race and I made them all run because there were many categories like 3K, 5K, 10K. We decided that the entire office will participate and they did and they really had fun.
Awesome. And are some of them still at it or they gave up after there was no rule?
They gave up after that. But the good thing was, it's not just they ran. It was a all women's run. So they had all their moms and their sisters and their cousins come in. So it was really, really nice for me to see that at least one time I was able to encourage people who don't do it otherwise
to get into it.
Yeah.
So when did you start running? What was the first run like? And how has that journey of running been for you?
I lived in New York for a period of 10 years and then I moved back to Delhi. And when I moved back to Delhi, my daughter was just 3 years old and I started to take her for a walk to Lodhi Garden. And because I missed being active and having an active lifestyle, as compared to living in New York, where you walk everywhere and you do stuff. So I started walking with my daughter in Lodhi Garden. That walk was not doing it for me. So while she would play with, you know, her friends and her nanny, I started out by doing like one round of walking, half round of running, and then gradually it became more of running and less of walking. And I thought that I was ready to sort of start running, my running journey. It just started as a casual fitness sort of to remain active, and then sort of became a passion.
Well, that's a great start to it. And now what you're doing, double digits in mileage a week? What's your mileage at right now?
I'm doing between 50 to 60K right now.
Wow, wow. And are you currently training for a particular race?
I started to run a full marathon this year, as opposed to, I was just running halves earlier. And I decided that I wanted to run fulls because I'm drawn to distance running. So So I'm going to run, pick up a full sometimes at the end of this year.
Okay, awesome. And like, how is that, you know, how has that journey been in terms of, you know, you said you started from walking rounds when your daughter was playing. In terms of getting to that level where you decide, yes, now I'm going to do a full marathon, you know, for some of our listeners who are beginners or just getting, you know, transitioning from maybe a 10K to a half marathon, what is the mental fitness required to kind of push yourself to almost double up in terms of the kind of mileage that you're going to be doing?
You know, you must want to do it. That's the basic core. If you want to do it, I think you can accomplish anything. I started, my first race ever was a 10K. And at that time, to run a half seemed so daunting. And then when I ran all these halves all these years, I would wonder, how do people run like 42K? Like, is it even possible? And when I started to train for my full, when I had my training plan and my coach had shared my entire training plan with me, when I was doing 10Ks and 12Ks or 15Ks, I would look at the weeks that were like 60K weeks and I would say, is it even possible for me to do that? And when I gradually got to that level, it's unbelievable that how it just, you naturally fall into that space. So you must, first and the most important thing is that you must want it. And it's a very long process. So, you know, you've got to be in it. You're in it for the long run.
Absolutely. And, you know, I find this very interesting in terms of talking to other runners that I'm, you know, friends with or meet often. Everybody has their own perspective of running. You know, everybody has their own reasons. What is that for you? What is your favorite thing about running? What does running do for you personally? You know, and why is it that you do it?
Running is my drug. It gives me the high. It gives me the low. I wouldn't be the person if I was not running. And, you know, there have been times where I've been injured and I haven't been able to run for like 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 5 weeks. And those have been my most difficult moments.
Yeah.
Not just because I'm not able to run, because I just lose my balance. You know, it just gives me my sense of balance and I'm able to work better and I'm able to perform better in general, professionally and, you know, at home.
Almost like an anchor for you, right?
Oh, yeah, it definitely is.
Great. So just a little bit jumping into, you know, understanding your particular training. You know, I always hear from runners about the balance of strength training, of stretching, of physio. What is your regime like? You know, what is it that you incorporate in terms of strength training? And how does, you know, all of these different facets of working out kind of fit into your regime?
So, as a distance runner, strength training is extremely essential because the more mileage you start clocking in, you know, you start to lose muscle strength. And to be able to run longer, you have to have the muscle strength. So, strength training is an absolute must. So, my schedule is such that I run 4 days a week. I strength train twice a week and I have a certain set of physio exercises which I have to do every day. I do take a rest day, just no gym, no exercise, no running, just nothing. And at most I would roll, you know, I use a foam roller, which most runners should and must. So essentially, yeah, I've been through my training sessions where I kind of cheated on not doing my strength workouts and I paid a very heavy price for it. So I've realized it the hard way that how important it is.
And is your strength training body weight training, or are you in a gym doing machines and free weights? What does that look like?
I do both, but more so with my age and being a woman, you know, at my age you start losing muscle mass. So a little bit of weight training is important, and it kind of helps me strengthen my body a little better. So I use weights, but free weights, you know, I don't do machines. But yes, a lot of body weight exercises. If I'm traveling and I don't have access to a gym or to weights, then body weight.
You know, about the travel, I was going to jump into that next. Just by conversing with you over the last few weeks in terms of, you know, figuring out the topics and scheduling this, we know that, you know, you're always on the go. You're traveling a lot. One is the fitness aspect, right? And I think from other people that we've talked to, when you're not at home much, or, you know, you have these places where you're constantly traveling and out and about, nutrition is something difficult to kind of maintain, right? So how does nutrition fit into your busy schedule? You know, how do you manage the diet part of it? And how does that kind of, you know, empower your running?
Just like how strength training is very essential, so is nutrition. If you want to take your running career seriously, even just as an amateur runner, nutrition is very important. So I am very mindful of what I eat, and it's not that I'm running 50K a week so I can just eat anything. You can't do that, and I certainly don't do that. So I'm very conscious and mindful of what I eat. When I'm traveling, I'm aware of, you know, sort of places I'm going to, and thankfully, my work takes me to places where I can get nutritious, wholesome meals. But yes, like, I would not eat just anything. I'm very mindful of what I eat, and I'm very mindful of that I have the right balance of protein, carbs. I get my vegetables. You know, it has to be balanced.
Great. I actually wanted to touch upon this a little bit earlier on in the episode, but, you know, talking about your schedule, talking about nutrition, tell us a little bit about what a normal day looks like for Namrata in terms of training, in terms of work, in terms of nutrition. You know, how do you plan that out and execute it to, you know, maximize work and training as well?
I wake up at 5:45 or 6 a.m. every single day. I work out either at the gym or I run outdoors, and that's, you know, I leave home by 6:15. It's 1.5 hours or two hours, depending if I'm running and doing my strength workout the same day. I leave for work at 9 a.m. I work from 9:30 till about 6 o'clock. I carry home food. I'm post-workout, I have a protein shake. I try to have as much organic food as much as possible. Organic produce is very important for me. I try and eat home food as much as I can. You know, as a runner, hydration is very important. So I drink a lot of water. I eat a snack at about 4:30, which is again something healthy, if not a fruit. I'm trying to control my sugar and carb intake. Though as a distance runner, you do need carbs, but then I try to get my carbs from greens, like, you know, vegetables. Doesn't necessarily have to come from grains or wheat or So I'm mindful of that. And then I come home by 6:30, family time, catch up with my daughter, see what she's been up to, homework, just a usual mother. And then I'm done. I sleep by 10 p.m. I cannot physically stay awake beyond that.
Yeah, so it seems like, you know, obviously your day is completely packed, but you're getting in the nutrition you need, you're getting in the training that you need to do to hit your goals, and also you're getting the rest you need, right? From 10 to 6, you know, obviously you're tired enough to get that rest, but, you know, other episodes and other enthusiasts and experts we've spoken to have obviously touched upon the importance of nutrition and also rest, because your muscles need to rest, your body needs to rest, your mind needs to rest, and, you know, that all plays into kind of hitting your goals. Just a little bit in terms of, you know, the balance bit, what are, you know, three tips that you could probably give some of our listeners, actionable information in terms of, you know, managing a busy work schedule, having a family, and also, you know, hitting fitness goals regularly and changing them? What are some things that people can, you know, keep in mind and do so that, you know, they're able to kind of keep all of that at bay?
To start with, I would like to say that all of it is possible. I always hear people saying that, oh, how do you do it? You know, I'm sure something must suffer. I try and balance it out as much as possible. I sleep on time. I wake up on time. I train on time. Family time is very important. You know, my daughter's at an age where she needs a lot of my time. So I definitely don't like to compromise on that. So the first thing is that balance is possible. You have to be mindful about your time. The second thing that you really need is discipline. If you do not have the discipline, it's not going to fall in place. So you will constantly, one thing will be rolling into the other, into the third, and either you're running late or you're skipping. So, you know, the discipline is the most important thing. If you don't have the discipline, you cannot accomplish anything. The other thing which I feel important is the desire. You know, if you don't have that fire in your belly, no one can push you to do that. You must want to. I wanted to run a full marathon. I have a very, very busy work schedule between travel and stores and shows. But I wanted to run that full marathon. I want to train for it. So no matter which part of the world I am in, I clock in those miles that I need for the day first thing in the morning. So get it? I'm a morning workout person because I feel then I have no control over the rest of the day, how my day progresses. So the discipline is to wake up and get your workout and then get ready for the day. The next is desire. You must want to do it, right? And third, which I feel is a little bit of letting go. You know, we don't live in a perfect world, but we have to make our perfect. So sometimes when I wake up and if I'm not able to work out in the morning as per schedule, I try to get on to work early, finish my day, and then put in what I needed to have done in the morning. So I think once you kind of figure this out, and each one of us have to figure out what works for us, which way. Morning might work out for me, evening might work out for someone else. So I guess these are generic things, you know, but you have to be very mindful and focused.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you kind of brought that third point as well. Of course, you know, we talked to some of the other guests about this as well, right? When you hit a low, when you're, you know, you have an injury or, you know, you're not able to kind of meet a goal, how do you kind of get back up and, you know, accommodate that and kind of make up for it. So I think that bit, you know, letting go, kind of, you know, forgiving yourself for not doing something at that point and then making up for it later is super important. So I think those tips are excellent. You know, I truly believe that a lot of it is the discipline and the desire bit. Like you rightly said, there has to be something from inside you. Small bit about, you know, your training. I ask a lot of these runners what their runs are like, right? And a lot of them listen to music, a lot of them don't listen to the music. So what is the perfect run for you? I mean, what is the perfect run in terms of environment, in terms of place? And
for me, it's always a nice, beautiful outdoor run in clean air, less pollution.
So not Delhi.
I know. An outdoor run is a good run for me. I like distance running. So anything 20-25K plus is the closest to what I would call a perfect run for myself. Having said that, I like short distances also. I like running, trail running as well. So I'm just happy running.
That's great. Tell us a little bit about the trail running bit. You know, it's something that is coming up a lot more. People are doing a lot more events. People are doing getaways to kind of take people for longer trips to, you know, train over a span of 3-4 days. What is it different in terms of, you know, the training that you do? And, you know, how is that different from your day-to-day, you know, training in a place like, say, Lodi Garden or in Delhi?
I have a very, very strong love for the mountains. I'm a very keen trekker. I go away for treks, if not once, definitely, if not twice, definitely once. So for me, the love for being out there in the mountains is very, very strong. It's a very strong calling for me. So whenever I get an opportunity, when I'm in a place where I can put in a run when I'm out in the mountains, is what started my whole thing with trail running. And now I have I have the opportunity, because my daughter goes to school in Vancouver in Canada, and they are the best trails there. So sometimes my training runs, which are easy runs, I do trail running. And so now I've actually been going to Vancouver for last 20 years. I've been walking the trails a lot, but in the last couple of years, I've been running. And that's something I would say is, you know, where my two loves come together, the love for the mountains and love for running. Yeah. So it's just perfect bliss.
Awesome. That sounds lovely. Have you done the grouse grind?
Oh, several times. And I'm now getting very competitive with myself.
What was the last time you did?
Well, last time I did was in May, but I was injured. I had this, I was dealing with something called post-tib, which is tibial tendonitis. Yeah. So I couldn't go fast. I did it in 58 minutes.
That's pretty good. I think I ended up doing 1 hour, 20 minutes this time I was there, and it was brutal. For our listeners who don't know, the Grouse Grind is a trek in Vancouver on a mountain that's called Grouse Mountain. And it's about 2.5-3 kilometers, very steep uphill climb, but very fun. I think at the end of it, you look back down and say, wow, that was, worth it at the end of it.
Absolutely. I just love it. I try and do it every alternate week, just as fitness.
Yeah, it's a great workout, absolutely. So moving on to a little bit, about your professional life and how it connects with fitness. You know, I wanted to touch upon how, in your opinion, you know, the glamour world and fitness and health in general are connected, and you know how fitness can be important in that space.
So the fashion industry is a dynamic industry, and they say you're as good as your last show. And to be able to sustain and keep that pace, you know, you have to put up new collections, you have to put up new shows season after season. It's sort of a marathon training, you know, it's endurance. When you run a race, when you run a full marathon or any race, you need mental toughness as well as physical strength. Likewise, to go through not just my profession, I think, you could be in any field of work. You need to have that sort of discipline to continue to keep coming up with something new, specific to me, that you have to come up with something new. And I feel that when I train and when I run, I deliver better. I create better. My brain is sharper. My mitochondria is growing. My brain is there. I'm able to deliver way more than when I had not been running. You know, it just channelizes my creativity. So the only parallel that I can draw between running and my profession is that it's like distance running. You have to keep at it. You have to keep on and on and on.
That's great. I think that connection that you've given us in terms of, you know, how you have to kind of stay consistent, you have to stay disciplined. It's a great, great parable, I guess, if that's the right term for that. So, you know, also to talk a little bit about the athleisure market, you know, it's something that has grown worldwide and in India as well. You know, what do you think is the future of that? And, you know, I think there's so many more brands that are coming out of India as well. You know, global brands are doing really well in India in terms of running gear, in terms of fitness gear. People are actually, you know, living in workout clothes these days, and it's considered completely fine to be, you know, working in them and going out in them. What is your opinion on that particular side of the market currently, and where do you think that is going in a place like India and general globally?
It has been trending. That whole athleisure market has been trending for past few years, and it's become lifestyle clothing now. It's no longer even athleisure, you know, it's lifestyle clothing. It's every upmarket brand, you name it, they all have trainers in their line. You would have never imagined spending $600-$700 when you travel overseas, or £500 on a pair of trainers. You know, you would spend that on a very fancy evening shoe. But now people, women, choose to invest in a pair of trendy designer trainers as opposed to, you know, evening party shoe. Because that's the trend. That's the whole high street and street style is very, very strongly influenced by workout gear. And so it's become a lifestyle thing, and it's here to stay for a long time. And when I see, as a designer, when I see that space in India, We do have a lot of high street brands doing that. We don't have that many high-end brands doing. Every time I've done a show, I have always had a athleisure sort of vibe in my collections, whether it was putting up a baseball cap over an evening gown or sending out t-shirts which said Wild Runner with a digit on it. You know, it's been sort of my influence of my personal liking into my designs. So that's definitely a very strong sort of trend, and it's here to stay. And yeah, you shouldn't actually look like you're coming out of the gym. You got to tweak it a little bit to make it a little more fashion. But yes, it's a big up.
Great. So there is a huge amount of fusion, you're saying, in that space now. And, you know, recently when I was traveling in the States also, I see that, and from the runners I know here in, you know, in India also, people are still, you know, buying gear that is not Indian. You know, they're buying shoes that are made in the States, that are made in Europe, because there's a certain amount of science and R&D that's going into that product, and it's still a premium product, right? Where do you think the Indian brands are right now with that? Do you see them kind of getting to that level soon where, you know, passionate you know, runners are going to be buying Indian-made gear for, you know, long-term purposes and, you know, incorporating that in their training?
Yes, I feel that all the brands, which are the sportswear brands that are here right now, the active sportswear brands, you know, they are international brands, whether it's Adidas or Nike or Puma, they have pretty good gear. Also, what happens is that when we travel, we definitely want to, you know, get what we don't get in back home.
Absolutely.
So, but there's I think if you did not get a chance to travel and if you had to just shop here, you have pretty much everything that you are looking for. The certain brands which are very specific to running are not available in our country. And I don't know if they will even come here because it's a very specific niche market. But if the demand grows, maybe then they do look towards India, but not currently.
And what is your favorite running gear? You know, what are the brands that you've incorporated in your training? And, you know, what is your favorite running shoe currently?
I wear the shoe from this brand called Saucony. And, you know, I've been wearing it for many years. I wear a lot of Under Armour gear. I find it very comfortable. And I'm not so biased towards one specific sort of brand or label. I'm pretty democratic. I go with what fits my body type, what suits me. But with the shoe, I'm very particular about two things. One is my running shoe and one are my running socks. I cannot just do with anything. The shoes have to be Saucony because I've been running in them for years. And socks have to be Balega, which is another brand which makes specific running shoes, running socks. So these are the two things that I'm very specific about.
Great, great. So just to, you know, wrap this up in terms of the last part that I wanted to kind of chat with you about was, like you rightly said, it's a niche market right now. It's a small market. What is your, you know, perspective on the running ecosystem in India currently? I know it's grown quite a bit, but, you know, where do you think it's at right now? What do you think is needed? And where do you see it kind of, you know, going in the next, say, 5 years?
Running has become a big sport. When I started running in Delhi, when I moved to Delhi 9 years back from New York, and when I used to run in Lodhi Garden, I was the only woman running there. But now when I go to Lodhi Garden or when I'm running on the street, I see so many women running. I see there are a lot of races, lot of running events happening, a lot of running groups popping up on social media. So there's definitely an explosion in the running space. But how many do it the right way? And how many races should really be out there is a little questionable. You know, if someone was to ask me, and I'm not so experienced to give advice, but with my limited knowledge, I would like to say, choose your races well, be smart about your running journey. Don't just get carried away that, you know, every race that comes up, you know, there are races now, like there's a half marathon every Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, it's like shocking sometimes. The race organizers, the security around it, or the just the whole management is really not up to mark. So you have to choose consciously. It's great that there's so many people up and about out there running, but be mindful. Again, that's just what I feel, that you have to choose your races well. You have to choose your journey, your running journey. Yeah. And what have you set out for? Do you want to it's a bucket list tick that I want to run one half and then that's it? Or you want to be in it for the long run, or you want to, you know, grow gradually as you run, continue? So there are lots of questions that only you can answer for yourself.
Yeah. And, you know, just to get, you know, your view on, you know, for our listeners that are, you know, as you said, getting into it, whether it's a bucket list thing, whether it's a long run thing, what are some events that you have really enjoyed being a part of and, you know, that you would recommend other people to run as well?
You know, when you're just setting out and you have just started this running journey, I think it's very nice to start with a nice 10K. You know, it's a very good distance. It's not over challenging, whether you're training for it or whether you are, you know, racing it.
Yeah.
Both is doable. And then set your goal towards a half. And the two most coveted halves for North India is ADHM.
Yep.
And for Bombay is TMM. And I personally feel there are many very good races like Pinkathon, 10K, New Delhi NDM. That's a New Delhi Marathon, but there's a New Delhi 10K Challenge. Mm-hmm. Then there is the New Delhi Marathon, which is what my first marathon was New Delhi Marathon. And I think it was a brilliantly organized race. And I felt very happy having run that. So these are a few, you know, which are quality races in India. So set your eyes on them. They are organized by very good sporting companies. You cannot go wrong when you choose well.
Great. I'm glad you said that because I just signed up for the 10K for ADHM too.
Oh, so congratulations. Good luck. Well.
Thank you. Thank you. So yeah, thank you so much for, you know, coming on the show. If some of our listeners want to follow your running journey and follow your work in general, where are some places that they can go to kind of see what you're up to?
Well, Instagram is one place where I post some runs and what work I do, or when I travel, where I travel, where I run. So that would be great. It's Namrata Joshipura is the handle. And yeah.
Awesome. And that information will also be on our in our show notes. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Namrata. And really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, guys. That was this week's episode of The Pursuit of Wellness. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Facebook as The Pursuit of Wellness and Instagram and Twitter as T-Power Podcast. You can also check out our website, manchamedia.com. This has been a Mancha Media production. Thanks for listening.